In Luke chapter 2, beginning verse... Welcome to our Christmas Eve and communion service. So glad to have all of you with us this Lord's Day. Thank you so much for choosing to worship with you. We do want to welcome all of our visitors and those from out of town. Thank you for being here. And it's such a delight to see you as you worship together with us. I do want you just to keep in mind that this is our Christmas Eve service. We don't have kids' church or nursery, but we do have our services being, they're on the TV in the foyer out here in the nursery. So if you need to take the kids out, give them more room to roam. TV's on for you to do that. And then also, on the back of your bulletin, you will see that the names of the people that these poinsettias were purchased in memory or honor of. And so we do appreciate you doing that. And after the service, you can come grab the poinsettia and take them home. But we appreciate you giving the money to help us decorate the church and make it look nice. But we're glad that you're here. Hope that you're ready to worship the Lord. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to be with us as we worship together. Father, we give you thanks and praise and glory for the great and holy God that you are. And God, help us to recognize today that as we enter this time of worship, that we are here to worship you as the holy, sovereign God of the universe. But more specifically, you are a God that has come near to us in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what Christmas is all about. As we reflect and we think on the incarnation, Christ or God in the flesh, for the purpose of your glory and for the salvation of sins. And so, God, I just pray that you would just turn our heart and our attentions and our minds toward you, whatever we may be thinking about today. I know we have lots of busy things planned with our family. We've got roast in the oven or turkey in the oven, but God, just put all those things aside for this brief moment and help us to focus on you, the Lord of glory. And Father, we just pray that if there are those that are here who do not know your Son Jesus Christ, that your Holy Spirit will convict them of their sin and of the person of Jesus Christ. And God, if those that need to be encouraged today, pray that you would draw them near through your Holy Spirit and let them know that you are a God of comfort, a God of loving kindness, and a God of grace, and that you will surround them with peace. And Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit will enable us to worship you in the way that is pleasing and acceptable to you. And God, may your Son Jesus Christ be exalted, and may you be glorified in all that we do today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's all stand together as we sing this morning and celebrate the birth of our Savior. Let's begin with Joy to the World.
And heaven and nature sing.
our ushers come forward this morning as we receive God's tithes and our offerings at the time in our service where we say that we treasure the Lord Jesus Christ more than we treasure our possessions and money. And so I trust that you'll be faithful and give to the Lord as he has given to you. I'm going to ask Brother David, would you lead us in offertory prayer, please? Continue our worship service as we give attention to the reading of God's Word from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning verse 1. And here's what the Word of our God says. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went up to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. And he went to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." May God richly bless the reading of his word.
Well, let's stand once again, if you're able, as we continue singing this morning.
Good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. Jesus Christ is born today. All that gathered before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Jesus Christ was born for this. He hath opened heaven's door, and man is blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. Good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting hope. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save. What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ. Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him, the King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise a song on high. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Nail spears shall pierce him through. The cross he bore for me and you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and beginning verse 8, and we'll be reading on to verse 20. Luke chapter 2, beginning verse 8. And before we look at God's Word, let's pray together and ask for God's blessing during this time. Father, we give you thanks for all the songs that have been sung as we reflect and we meditate and we worship you and your salvation through Jesus Christ, who came to this earth in the form of a man. And God, we thank you that in your infinite wisdom and in your providence and your sovereignty that you had orchestrated the events of history in such a way that you brought forth your Son, born of a virgin, in the fullness of time. At the very right time, at the perfect time, you did this. And Father, we just ask that you will help us to think and to hear and to receive your word with meekness, which is able to save our souls. Help us to understand that this is the climactic part in our worship service where you come and are present in and through your word. And Father, we just ask that you will speak to us as only you can. We ask these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In Luke chapter 2, beginning verse 8, and here's what God's word says. It says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heavens that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. This morning, we sang a song that's very familiar to all of us, like all of the Christmas carols are. We sang the song, O Come All Ye Faithful. I don't know if you've ever given much thought or given much attention to how that song is developed. And I'm particularly interested in the chorus and thinking about just one little word in there. When we sing the chorus, O Come, Let Us Adore Him, who is the us? As we think about that just for a minute, many of us would immediately go, well, the answer is in the title, O Come, All You Faithful. And so the us must be referring to the faithful believers, like the shepherds were, those who were the faithful, who had heard the angels talk about the Christ child and pointing them in the direction they came, and they adored him. So it must be the faithful. But when we think about the song just a little bit further, we learn that the first verse talks about, O come all you faithful. But then we hear the second verse, and it says, Sing choirs of angels, O sing you citizens of heaven. So verse 1 calls the faithful to come, and verse 2 calls the angels and the citizens of heaven to come. And so when we sing the song, O come all you faithful, when we get to the chorus, O come let us adore him, it's not just speaking to us, it's speaking also to the angelic being. So not only are we as humanity to come and adore him, but we're also calling the angelic chorus to come with us and to adore the Christ child. And so in this song, all the faithful on earth and all the angelic beings are being summoned to see and adore the Christ child. And this idea is actually communicated here in the text that we read this morning. When the writer of this hymn was composing it, this is the text that he composed it on the basis of. The angels, they came and they adored the Christ child, and the shepherds came. And so we see in our text that when the angels appear to the shepherds, they bring or have great news and great joy for all people. And then the content of that news is given to us in verses 11 through 12. So they tell the shepherds, don't be afraid. They bring good tidings of great joy. And then it tells us what that good tidings and great joy is in verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And it describes to us who he is. Gives us this extravagant title. He's the Savior. He's the Christ. He's the Lord. But then something happens that's unique. This Christ, this Savior, this Lord is a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. I want you just to think for a moment, if you're familiar with Luke's gospel and his description of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and all the events that lead up to it. In fact, he's more exhaustive than any of them. He goes all the way back and he talks about Zechariah and Elizabeth and how they conceived John the Baptist under the miraculous work of God. John the Baptist was conceived uniquely because Elizabeth was barren. She couldn't have children. So God came and he miraculously gave her the ability to give birth to John the Baptist. And when we start with chapter 1 and we begin reading all through chapter 2, we note that Luke is replete with Old Testament imagery. He actually only quotes the Old Testament twice, but behind the background of all the events that he's talking about, it's shaped primarily from Old Testament events, prophecies, and promises. In fact, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, you readily see allusion to these various people, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Hannah and Samuel, Samson, King David, and the prophecies of Isaiah, David, Zephaniah, Micah, and Malachi. And so all throughout this passage of Scripture, he is steeped distinctly and uniquely in the Old Testament Scripture. And then we see something that he does that's really important, is how he refers to God throughout all of these passages. He identifies to us who God is. He tells us in Luke chapter 1 and verse 16 and 32 and verse 68, he tells us emphatically that God is the God of Israel. And then 25 times through chapter 1 to chapter 2, he uses the title Lord when he refers to the God of Israel. Now, what's really unique about that is that 23 times the references to Lord is to specifically the God of Israel. But then two times throughout this narrative, he uses the title Lord for the child Jesus. I don't know if you think that's unique at all, but Luke is making a statement. He's unambiguous that Lord equals the God of the Old Testament, the God of Israel, the God that was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of David. And then when he introduces us to the Christ child the very first time in the narrative, he gives him the title Lord. In fact, we actually learn that Mary is visited by the angel Gabriel in chapter 1 in verses 26 through 38. And in this appearance, the angel announces that Mary will have a son. The angel tells us that he will be conceived by the Holy Spirit, and his name will be Jesus, the Son of the Highest, and he will rule as the Davidic king. And then all of a sudden, the angel is gone. He only tells us that she will have a child and that he will be conceived by the Holy Spirit, but Jesus is not yet made an appearance in the narrative. So we've heard great things about the Christ child, but we have not yet seen his appearance. And then in chapter 1 in verse 42, we learn that Mary is pregnant. If you want to look there with me, it tells us, it says, then she spoke with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And so Mary visits Elizabeth. And Elizabeth identifies to us in this narrative for the very first time that Mary is pregnant. And then all of a sudden we learn in verse 43 of chapter 1 the identity of Jesus. He makes his first appearance. This is his first scene in Luke's narrative. And he's not identified as Jesus. He's not identified as the Son of the Most High. He's identified as the Lord. Notice what Elizabeth says. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? You hear that? All throughout this narrative, Luke is referring to the God of Israel as Lord. And then as though it's no big deal, he takes that title and he applies it to the Christ child. In fact, not only does he apply it to the Christ child, he applies it to the child who is still in the womb of Mary. Now, I don't know about you, but this really speaks volumes about what it means to be pro-life. That even Mary or even Elizabeth recognized the significance of life with respect to conception. And so we learned that Mary is pregnant in verse 42. Then all of a sudden, Jesus is identified as the Lord. And so from this, we learn two things. We learn, number one, that Jesus now actually exists in the narrative. That Jesus is actually here. And number two, we learn that he's spoken on the human plane in a greeting to his mother from her relative. I want you just to think about what Luke is telling his readers. And what he's telling us, this is just a huge neon sign that is pointing to the Christ child.